Well, we're continuing a series we started last week called Church on Fire, where we're looking at the book of Acts. We just started, as I said last week, kind of transitioning from our sermon series on the disciples. And we're looking at Acts because Acts is a fascinating book that has a bunch of stories and things that you see about God's Spirit really being poured out on the people. I said last week that the kind of long name of the book of Acts is Acts of the Apostles, but really it should be called Acts of God, because God is working through these people in powerful ways, things that we don't see in church anymore, people on fire, people coming to God in really powerful ways. It's a book that will really challenge you. Today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, the first story that's in there, so if you want to turn to Acts 1, that's where we'll be. But I want to start this morning by calling up my volunteers. If I asked you to volunteer, or if I voluntold you to come up, come on, don't be shy. You can do it. Good job. I know I gave you a very hard challenge, so just go ahead, get started. All right, so let's say that you're like out for a walk. Like, I'm going to pretend like I'm out for a walk. And you're just kind of walking. I don't know where you go for walks, in your neighborhood or outside, not inside. Pretend they're outside. You're just kind of going for a stroll somewhere, getting a little bit of exercise, and you're coming down your block or your park or wherever you are, and you see four people doing that. And what do you do? And you look up yourself, and if you don't find anything when you're looking, what might you say to them? What are you looking at, Moraine?
What are you looking at?
Yeah, that's good. Or you might say, like, why are you, so you maybe go over to their angle too, like, you know, I still don't see anything. You might ask them exactly what this question that's asked in Acts chapter 1. Let's go to this first passage right here. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. This is Jesus going up into heaven. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Which is a question you might ask them as well. This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. So thank you guys. Good job. Good work. I know. Hopefully your necks were strong enough for that. So there's this passage about this group of followers of Jesus, and they are staring up into the sky. And someone comes, there's a couple people come and ask, why are you staring into the sky? What is this story about? I want to read the rest of that passage of it, Acts 1, 1 through 8, to kind of fill it out for you a little bit. In my former book, Theophilus, and this is Luke writing, which other book did he write? Good job. Congratulations. And he also addresses the book of Luke to Theophilus. And people don't know if Theophilus is actually a person, or Theophilus can kind of mean like philosophizer. So maybe it's kind of just somebody who is interested maybe in getting to know a little bit about Jesus. Could be directly to somebody or not. But both the book of Luke and the book of Acts are written to Theophilus. And so Luke says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he'd chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive his power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this story tells us that after Jesus was raised, he spent some time with the followers and continued to teach them about the kingdom of God. And then they ask this question, which they are constantly asking. You wonder if Jesus wants to slap them sometimes. He says, they say, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they still want Jesus to put up a fight. They still want an earthly kingdom to be there. And so they're saying, Is this time? Does this mean now? Like, are we ready to go? Should we get the ammunition and start charging in? And Jesus is not interested in that. He's like, the dates and times, you don't know. You don't know when this is going to happen. Jesus is like not concerned about the end of the world. He's not concerned about getting left behind. He's just kind of moving on, saying, guys, come on, this is not what this is about. But he says, but I am going to give you this power. I'm going to give you this spirit that you're going to need, because I'm going to leave you, but this spirit is much better. This spirit can always be with you. And he says something so interesting. He says, you're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, but it's not just going to end there. It's going to go in all Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And for us, we just kind of see that as a list of names. A lot of times we don't really consider how important they might have been. But for him to say Judea and Samaria is absolutely huge, because we know Samaritans and Jews don't get along very well. So he says, this message is going to go not only to a very Jewish place like Judea, but also to the Samaritans. And if you're somebody who underlines or circles in your Bible, that is a very powerful and important phrase. And it's almost like a throwaway phrase for us, but it is absolutely huge. Because Jesus says this message isn't just going to very Jewish people. It isn't just going to very Gentile people. It's going to all places and all people. It's going to break down barriers. Jews would go way out of their way to not walk through Samaria. They would do everything. There's this really bitter ethnic tension between these two groups. This is a powerful, powerful thing that Jesus says. It's not just going to one people and one place. It's going to all people, even where these barriers and divisions exist. If you're to think of it, maybe translated into our terms a little bit more, it's kind of like saying, we're going to people who support Obamacare and the Tea Party. It's like, to what? It's going to both of them? Are you kidding me? It's going to both places? We're going to go to Dodgers. So I guess that one worked. We're going to Dodgers fans and Giants fans. Baseball season just started. I mean, we're going to both groups, all places and all people. It's not going to be like just for them or just for you. It's for everyone. And if you were listening to this and for the first time, you're kind of just following along, you're kind of tracking, maybe you're taking notes on what Jesus is saying because you want to remember it, you're just like, what? How does that make any sense? It's going to both? But I don't want it to be for him. I don't want to go over there. I don't really want this to be for all people. Jesus, come on, let's just go restore the kingdom of Jerusalem right now. But he says, I'm leaving a spirit with you that's going to break down even barriers that exist between people. It's going to go to the very ends of the earth. And he says that he's going to leave this power behind. And he uses the word there is didymus, which is a word of power for that spirit. It basically means like, it's the phrase that we get dynamite from today. So he's saying, I'm leaving with you like the dynamite of God, the power of God's Spirit. This Spirit is so powerful. It doesn't just go to where you might want it to go or to that person or only to that group. It's going everywhere, to the very ends of the earth. You're going to find yourself, you little band of disciples, you're going to find yourself breaking down barriers, moving this to all places. You have this great power. It's going to continue to expand. It's going to continue to grow to the very ends of the earth. You might know, many of you do, that Mandy and I had our first child a couple months ago. And one thing that you learn about children is they grow out of things very quickly. One of my favorite onesies that he has is this. It says Love Pirate on it, which is amazing. I don't even know what it means, but it's... But it's amazing, and it's one of my favorite onesies. I brought one intentionally that none of you brought, so you're not like, oh yeah, he's my favorite, the one I gave. So it's not one of yours, but I like many of yours as well. But this Love Pirate onesie is one of my favorite, and I love seeing him wear it. And if you don't have kids, you don't understand, but you're gonna do this someday too. You'll like put them in weird clothes or put them in your favorite team's clothes and be like, oh, he's already a fan. Huh? You're going to You're going to do it too. I didn't believe I would do it either, but you do. Also, another word of warning, you're going to have a really weird voice that you, when you hear it on tape, you're like, I really sound like that? It's kind of embarrassing, but it's going to happen. That's a guarantee. That's my own prophecy for today for you. But one thing that you realize about kids' clothes is they go through them really, really fast. And it's kind of annoying because they still cost like just as much as adult clothes, and they're really small, and it doesn't make any sense at all. I'm becoming more and more convinced that babies run the world, and there's really just a baby behind everything. But this is a three-month onesie. Carter right now is just a little bit over 2 months, so he's not going to fit in this for very much longer. And on that day, I'll be very sad and go put it in a box somewhere, and maybe we'll have another one that will be another love pirate. But what you realize about kids' clothes is they don't last very long because they're continuing to grow and continuing to expand. That's exactly what Jesus is telling us here about the power that's within, not only for the disciples that were there at that time, but people who will commit their lives to Christ, that power will continue to grow and expand in you. That even sometimes you might not want it to go to a certain place. You might not want to love a certain kind of person, or you may not want that barrier to be broken down because you just want to keep that fence up. But Jesus says, this is the kind of power that I'm talking about, that you're going to continue to grow and to expand, that 5 years from now you're going to have a deeper amount of faith because of the things that you see, that you're going to continue to grow and expand. There are barriers that you might like to keep up, but Jesus says this is going not just to Judea or not just to Samaria, but to all Judea and Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. Jesus says you might try to keep this thing in Jerusalem, but you can't keep it here forever because it's going to continue to grow and to expand. And what's interesting is in Acts chapter 8, it tells us this. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And what's so interesting about this is Jesus says this to this group of people, like, stay here in Jerusalem until you get the Spirit to come upon you. Stay there. But then in Acts chapter 2, they get the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 8, they're still hanging out in Jerusalem. It's like they've been told they have this great power and this great ability available to them to break down all barriers, but it's kind of human nature. Like, let's just all stay together instead of moving out. So I feel like it's like God's like, all right, send the persecution. Let's get this thing spread out a little bit. And it tells us that it goes into Judea and Samaria. That these people who now deeply know the message of God, they go to these places and they might not have said without a persecution coming, no, I really want to go over there, but they do. This message spreads. This message expands. It's like Jesus is saying, God's Spirit is saying, get out of there. It can't just stay in Jerusalem. In the New Testament, the word that's used to describe followers of Christ is saint over and over again. In some ways, when we have a new identity in Christ, we don't see ourselves the same way anymore. That we're fundamentally new. That we're moving forward. That we're being transformed. That we're continuing to move. That this power that's within us continues to transform us. Jesus is telling them, and he's telling us, we have a mission that goes way beyond us. We have a mission that goes way more deep, way too long. I find this passage so interesting. If you could put it up again, Mike. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white. And it's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, they're looking intently up into the sky. And it says, as he's going, then two men come and say, what are you doing looking at the sky? And just really interesting, isn't it? Because these people have been around, they've oriented their lives around Jesus, followed Jesus in so many deep ways. And as he's leaving, it says he's still going. So as he's still going, they're still looking at him. He's right there. As he's still going, Suddenly, there are some people who come, and people aren't sure exactly, but it says, because a lot of people speculate, because it says they're dressed in white, that they're probably messengers from God. These messengers from God, as he's still going, it's like Jesus is just like halfway up in the air maybe. As he's still going, it seems kind of quick, right? It's, can't we pause for a minute? Can't we just hit time out and reflect on the great things that Jesus has done? But it says, as he's still going, these men come and say, get to work. Can't you mourn for a minute? Or maybe they're waiting, like Jesus is like halfway up. He's like, oh, I forgot a few things. Let me come back. There's about five more rules I need to give you. As he's still going, suddenly these men come and they remind this group of their mission. As he's still going. They've just been told they have the power to change the world. Jesus has told them, you have this great power, this power to break down barriers, this spirit, that the dynamite of God is available to you. It's going to break down barriers between Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. You have this great power available to you. And these guys are just staring at the sky. So these messengers come. And they say, get to work. Get to work about the mission of God. Why are you standing there staring at the sky? What's the most powerful movie you've ever seen in a theater? And whenever a really powerful movie ends, isn't there like a moment where you kind of want to do more than you can? Like you're so moved by it that all you can do is clap at the end. And that feels kind of good, but it's not like the director was there, unless he actually was for you, because we live in Hollywood. But the whole room after you see such a powerful film, it's like all you can do is just clap. I mean, it's hard. Did someone say Transformers? Yeah. And it's hard when you're the only one who ends up clapping. I did that at the end of the Garfield movie, and it was really, I just stopped after a few seconds because I realized I was the only one who was moved by it. But when you're at the theater and you see this really powerful movie, it's like there's just not enough you can do. Like you want to clap, you want to do something. Like this movie's been beautiful, or it's moved you to tears, or moved you in a lot of ways, and you just need to do something to say thank you in a way to it, to celebrate it. It's kind of the same with a great book. At the end of a book, you just hate to put it down that you've loved reading. You're just kind of disappointed that the story's over. You're crying, and you're moved by it, and you feel that same thing, like, oh, I wish, What can I do to respond to this great book? Maybe besides write an email to the author. And what do you do when you've heard a great sermon? I know for many of you it's been a long time. What is it that you do with like a really moving, powerful sermon? I would argue that the best movies, the best books, the best sermons that you've ever heard or seen or read are books, movies, or sermons that actually change something about your life. That you didn't just applaud in the theater, but you walked away with like a different spirit. Maybe you looked at a different group of people differently. Or you really recognized a story and you kind of connected to that story and you don't live the same way ever again. You heard a really convicting message and you realized something about the Bible and God's love being available to you that changed your life forever. So the disciples and the people gathered there, they get this message from Jesus. They have this great power to transform the world. They have this wonderful power that's available to them to break down all barriers. And they're just staring at the sky. So two men come say, why are you just standing there? You have this amazing power that's available to you. Why are you just staring at the sky? Get back to the mission that God has called you to. This reveals something I think that's fundamentally true and important for us to continue to consider. That we can't just be admirers of Jesus or people that admire God. Many people would say, Christians, non-Christians, even atheists, people would say that the life of Jesus is a beautiful example. The life of Jesus is wonderful, the way that he lived, the way that he treated people. And I don't necessarily believe in it, but wow, what an amazing person Jesus was. These people, after they've been given this wonderful message, they have this ability to change the world. They're just kind of staring at the sky, admiring Jesus. And again, you kind of want to say, can they at least have a minute? Has he still going? Suddenly, there's two guys that just come up and be like, hey, get back to work. Can't they just have a minute? And we definitely need times where we admire God, when we go to God, when we worship God, when we celebrate that. But this passage is something that reminds us that we have to stay on mission. It just because you've seen one of those things, like we can fall into the same trap with God that we can with a great movie or a great book. We can applaud it or kind of feel that feeling in our heart that we recognize this new thing about the world or this new thing about God, but at some point, we have to do something with it. At some point, we can't just be admirers. At some point, we can't just say, it was really nice that Jesus was this way or really nice that God worked with people in that way back then. It was really, really nice. And we get that warm feeling like we do at the end of a good movie or the end of a good book. We can't just stare at the sky. It's something that's true about me. I don't know if it's true about you. I'm easily a self-centered person. Mike, if you go to the next slide. Sometimes I would rather be known as a loving person than actually love people. Sometimes I would actually rather be known as a servant than actually serve. Sometimes I'd rather be known as a Christian than actually ask Christ to lead my life in the day-to-day. See, what this passage reveals that's so important is that God desires followers, not admirers. God desires people that aren't just going to stare at the sky and say, wow, Jesus, what a life you lived, though that life was great and miraculous and powerful and moving. But people who actually live it out, people who actually walk away changed. At the Risen Conference a couple weeks ago, Jonathan Storman shared a quote from a guy named Tyler Wigg Stevenson. I thought it really fit with this. He's a guy who works with nonprofit companies frequently. And he said this, I frequently see men and women whose good intentions and grand ambitions blind them to the terrible ways they interact with real human beings, including their coworkers and families. You'll find leaders who love a concept, peace, community, flourishing, and so on, but they don't seem to like people very much. There are plenty of activists who almost seem to wish that everyone would just get out of the way so they can get on with building a good society. I know that quote's kind of funny, but it definitely hits me as true, and I hope it does for you sometimes too. Because in many ways, I think we would rather just love those concepts than actually do them. We would love to talk about the life of Jesus, to just think about the life of Jesus and just meditate on it and love it and just stare at the sky for our entire lives instead of actually doing something about it. And the schools would just get so much better if there weren't people involved. Church would be perfect too if there was just no people. You kind of have these ideas. I could fix the world if people didn't keep getting in my way. I'd rather stare at the sky sometimes. What I love about this passage, though, is that middle part of it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as Jesus says that, Glendale, Pasadena, Burbank, and that's the ends of the earth from there, isn't it? If I was trying to get a religion started or something, I might make a bold declaration like, by the time my great-grandchildren are here, this might reach San Diego. That might be what I would say. But Jesus says, this thing that I'm starting right now, it's going to get to Glendale, California in 2014. This thing that is available to you, the power that God gives that's available to you, that's going to break down barriers between Judea and Samaria, that's going to go to all people and all places. Someday there are going to be people 2,000 years from now who know who I am, who know of this kind of love of God's great power. Because people are going to recognize it. And you want to know why this prophecy that Jesus gives has come true? It's because men and women throughout history didn't stare at the sky. Because they realized that the great power that was available to them, they realized that it wasn't about just admiring the traits that Jesus has or admiring the things that Jesus wants us to be. But they walked down off the mountain and didn't remain staring at the sky. This power has transformed the world. What ways are you caught up in maybe staring at the sky? What are some next steps that you might need to take, that God might be calling you to take into your world? Because God is always calling us back to a mission and a purpose. What would that next step look like for you? Because this can kind of be overwhelming when you think about, like, what is God's mission for my life? But God's mission for those people who were there was just to walk back down the mountain, to be in Jerusalem for a while, to walk back down, to take some steps, to share with people in their community, one by one, about what God had done through Jesus. What do you think a next step could be for you? In what ways have you been caught up just admiring the life of Jesus? Maybe you've been caught up in that you kind of want to be known as a servant, but you don't actually serve. Or you want to be known as someone who loves, but you don't really actually love. Or you want to change the world, but you just want to get all the people out of it. And whatever it might look like for you, what's the next step that God might be calling you to do? Let me say a word of prayer as we close. God, I pray that this week we'll consider what you might be calling us to. That we won't just admire the life of Jesus, though it's a wonderful, beautiful, great life. That we'll consider how we sometimes just admire it instead of actually following. I pray that to all of us in this room, you'll reveal next steps for us. Ways that we can love people better. Ways that we can serve our world better. Ways that we can truly follow you in the day-to-day. I hope that we can make it a priority in our lives, not just to recognize the good things that we see in you, but to really live them out. Help us to not be caught staring at the sky, but to always remember this great power that's available to us, the power to break down barriers, the power to love, the power to forgive, the power to be part of healing and restoration in our world. God, remind us of this power, that it's available to us and that we can be part of changing the world. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this message, which is so old, but yet so powerful. I thank you for all the men and women, some who sacrificed their lives because of this message. for thousands of years, people have grasped this, and it truly has changed the world. That this has reached Judea, Samaria, Glendale, Burbank, Pasadena, Los Angeles, the very ends of the earth. Help us to recognize and embrace that power that's on us as well, and to not just look at it or stare at it, but to be active participants with it. Give us next steps, Father. We would know what to do next. In your Son's name I pray, amen. We're going to close with a song about a new anointing. And the word anointing is about getting a new position, being anointed into a new position. I hope that as you think about this message, you'll think of yourself in a new way as a messenger of God in your communities and in your world. And if you would like to take a next step, or you'd like to talk to me more about a next step, whether that be putting Jesus Christ on in baptism, or you would like to talk about the next step of whatever your life might look like to be more part of this church or more connected to our body, I'll be down front, and Grant Williams, one of our elders, will be here with me at the end of our service. But I hope that this week you'll consider the ways maybe that you've been caught just staring at the sky and preferring to just admire the life of Jesus instead of following. I hope today that you'll consider it a new anointing to remind you of who you are, that you have this great power that's available to you to love, serve, and transform our world. Let's stand and worship together.